You're listening to Soundside. I'm Libby Denkman.
And I'm Soundside producer Alec Cowan. And Libby, last week, the Seattle Redistricting Commission put forward their final plan for redrawing city council maps in the city.
All right, buckle up, everybody. This is going to affect how political power works in this city for the next decade.
Yep, and as you might imagine, not everyone is happy with the new map. But you might not have guessed that the biggest battles in this process have been waged over the future of Magnolia.
I think there were other issues that came into play that supported Magnolia being split. That's a choice that the commission made.
This is Anne Gose. She's a business owner in Magnolia and is on the board for the Magnolia Chamber of Commerce.
But that bruised Magnolia and created for a very engaged electorate a lot of heartburn.
So every 10 years, political maps are reconfigured. They're based on that decade's census data. Population grows unevenly over time, so boundaries have to be redrawn to make the 7 districts in Seattle have an equal number of residents. And in Seattle's case, that's about 105,000 people per district. And this year is a big deal because these will be the first new maps since 2013, and that's when Seattle voters approved a change from citywide council elections to district elections.
And back then, when voters approved Charter Amendment 19, the new districts were drawn by one person, a University of Washington geography professor.
Right. And so this is the first time the districts have been drawn by an independent commission with lots of public comment. And these newly reconfigured maps include some pretty big changes, starting with the fact that Seattle's District 7 needs to shrink. It currently includes Magnolia, Queen Anne, and parts of downtown.
Right. And South Lake Union, which looks a bit different today than it did 10 years ago. The tech boom there brought a lot of people, and they live in relatively dense apartments and condos. I just looked this up, Alec. The population of the zip code that includes South Lake Union grew 67% in the decade between censuses.
It's a huge difference. So to achieve that parity between districts, Seattle's redistricting commission has to shrink the 7th district's geographic size. So the commission has been at this for more than a year, and they've considered several possible maps. The latest proposal has District 7 losing a big chunk of Magnolia. The northwest corner, like Briarcliff and Lawton Park, those would join Fremont and Ballard up in the 6th district. The 7th would then keep southeast Magnolia and Interbay.
But importantly, that splits Magnolia into 2 districts. And Alec, you mentioned this process has been going on for over a year. So how did we get here?
Yeah, so the process started last October. That's when a 5-person commission was pulled together. It includes 2 members appointed by the current city council, 2 by then-Mayor Jenny Durkin, and 1 commissioner who was chosen by the other 4 members. And back in February, those 5 commissioners presented 4 draft district maps. Then, through the spring and early summer, they invited the public to come in and comment, held a series of community forums. That helps narrow things down to 1 proposed map that was then released in August. And then over the past couple of months, the commission hosted more public hearings to see what people thought of the draft. They also looked at proposed maps that individuals and organizations put together on their own. And then finally, last Tuesday, the commission voted to send a final map to the city council for approval.
Now, this wasn't a totally open-ended process, though, right? What are the parameters the commission follows to create maps?
No, so they're working within the bounds of local, state, and federal law. The first rule is that the commission has to draw lines that are, quote, compact and contiguous and, quote, not gerrymandered.
In other words, no really crazy shapes to pack everyone of a certain race, ethnicity, or political party into one district, or to spread those groups out and mess with their political power.
Exactly right. The commission is also tasked with taking into account the waterways and natural geography of the city, as well as the boundaries of existing communities and neighborhoods. But the small catch is that those boundaries are honored only so long as they're, quote, practical.
Huh. Okay, so the goal is to keep neighborhoods together when it's practical. That sounds pretty squishy to me. The commissioners deciding to split Magnolia tells me there's something impractical that they ran into when it comes to maintaining the balance of population in that area of Seattle.
Exactly right again. So dramatically shrinking the geographic boundaries of District 7 means you have to make big changes to every neighboring district as well. So splitting Magnolia in half was the solution the commission came up with, but it didn't happen without a fight.
And we heard earlier from Ann Gose with the Magnolia Chamber of Commerce, who's not a fan of the split. Splitting neighborhoods up means they can have less of a voice at City Hall because the neighborhood voice can be diluted between multiple districts, and each of those representatives will have a lot of other constituents to represent. I imagine other Seattle folks have strong feelings about this split, too. What are you hearing, Alec?
Well, it depends on who you ask.
Not just a question of to split Magnolia or not. It's also a question of do we split Fremont into three different districts, which was a proposed remedy to keep Magnolia whole.
This is Andrew Hong, a coordinator of the Redistricting Justice for Seattle Coalition. Redistricting Justice for Seattle, or RJS, is a coalition that supports keeping communities of color together through the redistricting process. And they also support the interests of renters, young people, and low-income folks specifically. Redistricting Justice proposed a district map that the Redistricting Commission has pretty closely stuck to, and that includes the split in Magnolia. Andrew said that splitting the neighborhood is not ideal, but out of the options on the table, it's the best way to balance the needs of all the neighboring districts as well.
Okay, I'll bite. What other options were out there?
So one idea to keep Magnolia together was pitched by Redistricting Commissioner Rory O'Sullivan. That map would have kept all of Magnolia and Interbay in the more northern District 6, along with Fremont and Ballard, but it would also have meant splitting off a big slice of Fremont and part of First Hill, and moving them into District 7, along with downtown. One other idea would have looped the University of Washington campus from District 4 into District 3 to the south. So that basically would have just split the campus away from the rest of the U District. And there was pretty significant opposition to both of those ideas from Redistricting Justice for Seattle and also from University of Washington students. Here's Andrew Hong again.
Splitting Magnolia is not just about splitting Magnolia or not. It's also about, you know, do we split other historically underrepresented groups like students in the U District or renters in Fremont.
The other consideration for Redistricting Justice has to do with a key demographic point. The southeast portion of Magnolia that's now headed to District 7 is more renter-heavy, and that's in contrast with a lot of the wealthier homeowners in West Magnolia. It's also more diverse, whereas West Magnolia is wider.
So moving a more diverse, renter-heavy portion of Magnolia to join downtown and South Lake Union made sense demographically to the redistricting commissioners. And that would theoretically make the 7th District a stronger renter-focused district and move more Magnolia homeowners to join others in Ballard and Northward who share their concerns maybe more closely. If a split had to happen, the commission thought that was the best of some bad options. Do I have that right?
That's exactly right. Back to Andrew Hong.
At the end, the Seattle City Council redistricting process and the commission is tasked with drawing a map for the entire city, not just for Magnolia, not just for one neighborhood. The commission in their final map proposal, I think they did the best job they could do possible.
But that's probably not great comfort to people who want to keep Magnolia together. I mean, what are they saying?
So there's definitely a feeling of surprise. When I spoke with Ann Gose at the Chamber of Commerce, she told me that it would obviously be ideal to keep Magnolia as one neighborhood, but losing Interbay also matters a great deal. Ann said the peninsula part of Magnolia can feel like a bit of an island at times. There are only three main bridges into and out of the neighborhood. Interbay is the neighborhood's connection to the rest of the city, and any changes there affect all of Magnolia. And pointed to some planned redevelopment projects in Interbay that residents are keeping a close eye on.
The 25-acre armory site that's now owned by the state that is planned for redevelopment, the Port of Seattle at Pier 91 and at Fisherman's Terminal, the City of Seattle with the Ballard Interbay Manufacturing and Industrial Center. Mm-hmm. And so we felt we had a direct legislative relationship with our council member because all of these activities, many of them, not all of them, but many of them will have a direct intersect with the funding that is done by the city council.
And with this new district map, residents and business owners in Magnolia will have to work with two city council members instead of one.
Right. And that means twice the amount of political maneuvering, town hall meetings, etc.
Working with the council, you know, history has shown that sometimes that can be tougher than other times. It may not be between certainly the 6th and the 7th, but
as we know, the seventh is changing so dramatically that you worry about, you know, how much care will that council member take with things in Magnolia and Inner Bay, and how much are they taking into account the impact that will have on sixth district constituents.
Some Magnolia residents, like Anne, also feel like there was a solution available that would have kept Magnolia together, keeping it in the same district with Queen Anne. But proposals with that option never really gained traction with the commission.
Okay, so Magnolia, of course, is not the only district that's going to see changes. What other lines are being redrawn that we should highlight, Alec?
So we know that Seattle has grown and changed a lot in the last 10 years, but that growth hasn't been even throughout the city. So let's start with South Seattle. So District 1 currently includes West Seattle, down to Arbor Heights, and then east to South Park. There's been a slower population growth there, so the commission expanded the boundaries of District 1 farther east. So now it will go all the way out to Soto, down through Georgetown, and will cut off at I-5. Those neighborhoods were previously in District 2, which includes Southeast Seattle, CID, Columbia City, Rainier Beach, Beacon Hill. And speaking of District 2, it will now include this little extension on the northwest tip.
Ah, little extension. So it sounds like this is an example of where the goal of keeping neighborhoods and communities together collides with the redistricting rules about keeping compact and contiguous district shapes. Am I right?
Yes, that is right. So in the current district map, Yesler Terrace is basically split in two. So there's a chunk in District 2, with the rest joining Capitol Hill in District 3, which, as you might recall, is not a good outcome according to the Redistricting Justice Coalition. And a lot of public feedback wanted Yesler Terrace to be entirely in one district. So now it is. And there are a few other funky spots throughout the city where small chunks of neighborhoods are kind of being rejoined with the larger parts of their neighborhoods.
What's North Seattle looking like in the new city council map?
There's been pretty slow population growth in District 5, which includes the farthest northern neighborhoods of Seattle. So because of that lack of growth, the district lines are coming farther south into Crown Hill and North Beach, which are currently in District 6, which, remember again, is Fremont, Ballard, a bit of Green Lake. Wedgwood in northeast Seattle was split between Districts 4 and 5. It will now be included entirely in District 4, which you'll remember is the University District.
Okay, so Seattle's Redistricting Commission came up with a map that not everybody loves. That's to be expected in a process like this. Some districts are seeing neighborhoods reunited, but some, like Magnolia, are being split. What's next in this process?
So the commission put forward its final district plan last Tuesday, the 8th, and you can find that map on their website, seattle.gov/redistricting. That includes the adjustments that we've been talking about. The city council is expected to confirm final maps tomorrow, Tuesday, November 15th. And that's the final deadline. So if the council votes to approve this map, then that's all she wrote. We have new district boundaries for the next 10 years. They take effect in time for 2023's elections.
And that'll be interesting because next year is a big year for Seattle politics. All seven district-based city council seats are up for a vote.
Right. So a lot of these pockets of the city that we've been talking about, places like Soto, Georgetown, Yesler Terrace, some of those neighborhoods on the cusp of District 4 and 5, and of course, a large part of Magnolia, if things hold as they are, they will see some new folks vying to represent them at City Hall starting next year. And the demographics and political leanings of some of these newly redrawn districts will have significantly shifted from last election, which could lead to a big shakeup in the power on the council.
Okay, we'll be watching. Soundside producer Alec Cowan, thanks for walking me through this.
Thank you, Libby.
Thanks for listening to Soundside. Don't forget you can listen live on KUOW 94.9 Seattle at noon and 8 p.m. Monday through Thursday, or anytime right here online at KUOW.org, or of course on your favorite podcast app.